listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hospitality. My screen, when I made the slides, looked a lot better and a lot bigger than what they do now. So I'll apologise. If anyone needs to go to their car and grab a set of binoculars to read the text, feel free to go do that now. So hospitality. So we're continuing Paul's kind of theme. Paul last week spoke about generosity, and now I'm moving on to hospitality. So I'll begin with what this sermon is not before I lead into maybe what it might be. This is not one of those sermons where I'm going to say, this is what hospitality is. This is why we do it. This is how you're going to do it. This is who should do it. And this is when we should do it. I think hospitality is important, but I want to focus on why it's important and continue spurring people on to want to do it rather than being told they have to do it. Because who here likes being told what they have to do? Don't see too many hands. There are not too many people here that like being commanded what to do. That's good. But when we are called to do something, when we're inspired to do something, then we're going to want to do it, aren't we? If it's something we enjoy doing, when it's something where we can see the benefit for ourselves and for others around us, then maybe we might get off of our bottoms and go do something different. So, let's begin. Hospitality. It's defined by, this is a definition. It says, a friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, and or strangers. So that's the idea I'm kind of thinking of. You know, just entertaining people. Having people over, having a meal, spending some time with people. So I want to look at it from the kind of context of what we do as a church. So sometimes we'll have other members of the church over, we'll share a meal with them. Sometimes we extend that to people that aren't in our church, which is amazing. But I think the main focus I want to do is just talk about building relationships within the church and those people that are just on the fringe. I'm not talking about ducking into West Lakes and finding a complete stranger and grabbing their hand and saying, you're coming home for a meal with me tonight. And I don't get me wrong, I think if you've got that gifting and you get that calling that you can go do that. But that's not what I'm focusing at the moment. Focusing on just on the hospitality we do between us. So really, this is kind of like deja vu. Who here already feels like they've heard it from this Eat and Surprise the World? That's what I felt when I was preparing. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I've heard this before. I'm pretty sure I was preaching around I don't think I preached on Eat. I think I was on the Blessed One before, but it's that kind of sense of deja vu. But that's okay, because sometimes some of us are slow learners and they need things reminding. So I'm going to take it as a reminder for myself. As I started with, this is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this charity kind of side of where I've got to be careful with my words here. The Bible tells us that we have to feed the poor, that we need to go out and help those. And that is important, and I believe in it. Like, when we're in the Philippines, we do feeding programs. When I see charities, like, I was at the shops yesterday or the day before, and when I was at the checkout, they asked if I wanted to donate some coins to Second Bite as part of my shopping. And I'm happy to do that. I think it's something that is valuable. But what I'm talking about today, as I mentioned a few times and getting a bit repetitive, is that that's not what I'm talking about today. But here's a fact. So I've put up all these different agencies that supply food and help people out in the community. And in the middle, you notice the Uniting Church symbol. So who here knows that in the church here on a Sunday morning, do they actually do a feeding kind of thing where they do emergency relief meals? So, in 2020, rough guess, how many meals do you think this church gave away in 2020? couple of hundred? Nearly 5,000 meals in 2020. It's not bad. That's 100 meals a week, roughly. 90 to 100 meals every week for the whole year in 2020. They gave away, this is a bit that kind of went, wow, 3.3 ton of food over the year. It's massive. They gave away 940 kilos of fruit, 1,500 kilos of vegetables, and about 900 kilos of baked goods, which is obviously all the breads that they get every week and give away. And they gave away, I reckon, they believe about 35 kilos of eggs. And that was all in 2020. So even by being here and by our supporting their church, we are supporting that kind of thing. So we are doing that. But let's get on to our form of hospitality. How are we doing it? So hospitality is more than just eating together. You know, during uni, I'll have a lunch break and I'll sit and have a meal with other uni students. That's not hospitality. That's just me sharing a meal because we happen to have lunch break at the same time. When we get home for dinner with our family, it's not always hospitality when we're eating with the same people we do every night. Hospitality, to me, on top of that definition that we've already been given, to me, what I think of when I think of hospitality, especially for all this kind of study leading up to this, hospitality is breaking down barriers. Hospitality is building community. Hospitality is building family. Now, this isn't written here, but I was just thinking, when I was thinking about family, Jericho, anyone who knows Jericho more than 5 minutes might realise what his favourite movie of any all time is, or favourite series. What is it, Wesley? Fast and the Furious. A few others would have gone, yep. The Fast and Furious franchise is built around this family. And every movie, they've got a new person in their family. And nearly every movie, they'll have a meal together, and they actually say grace, although I wouldn't recommend their style of saying grace. But it's the idea of that the family is continually getting built. And as much as the movies are unrealistic and not really great quality movies to watch, that theme I like is the fact that the relationship and hospitality is the building upon the families. So Jesus often shared meals with other people. You read through Luke, and I think there's 12 different occasions where you can find he's gone and had a meal with somebody else. And each one of those were for different reasons. They seem like they had different purposes, and most of them had slightly different outcomes as well. So what I want to do is just look at a couple of those stories of what happened when Jesus went and had a meal with someone and what the outcome of it was. So the first one was when Jesus had a meal with the Pharisee and the uninvited guest. So one of the Pharisees, make sure I'm on the same page, yeah. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing at his feet and putting perfume on them. So this is the story. This is what happened. The Pharisees gone to Jesus, you know, come to my place. He's invited him over. Jesus has sat down. This woman's come and done this. And without reading it, what it actually says is the Pharisee thought to himself, if this man were really a prophet, then he would know the kind of woman who is touching him. She is a sinner. So Jesus said to Simon, who was a Pharisee. So the Pharisee, it says that he said it quietly to himself. He hadn't actually said it out loud. It's almost like that grumbling, you know, when you see things and just go, you know, if he really knew what she was like, if they really knew how much of a sinner. And that's the kind of grumbling effect. But Jesus turns and says this to the Pharisee. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And then he tells a story. So do you know the story? The story is a moneylender. So Jesus says this story to this Pharisee. He says, suppose two people owe someone money. Someone owes them 50 coins, and another one owes them 500 coins. Now let's say the moneylender wipes off the debt. Who would love Jesus more? And so Simon thinks about it for a minute, and he goes, oh, I suppose it'd be the person who owed the moneylender more. And Jesus goes, exactly right. For those who have been forgiven a little, they care a little. But for those who have been forgiven a lot, they love a lot. And so basically, Jesus used that moment in that meal as a teachable moment. He used that time to minister to them. He used that meal to make a point and to say something and to share a message that he thought was needed to be shared. And in the end of the story, Jesus actually says to the woman, he says, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. The other thing Jesus had done at that meal is he'd picked up on what that woman needed. He'd realized that what she actually needed was forgiveness, and she needed to leave in peace. And I find that meals are great times to either minister or to get to know people and realize what it is that they need. And sometimes we can help people and others we can't, but getting to know them is a good first start. So another thought I had with this was, how would you be being a host? For one thing, you've been slightly rebuked because you're kind of having a go. But imagine it. You're thinking, you know what, I'm going to have Jesus over. It's going to be so good. And someone just barges in, takes away all the attention, takes away the limelight, and all of a sudden the meal's just gone nowhere near the way that the Pharisee wanted it to go. I think that sometimes we need to realise that what we plan is not going to happen, and we need to be available and open for it to change. Next meal, Jesus shared with Martha and Mary, which is Luke chapter 10. So this is a well-known story. There's so many sermons I've heard on this, but I still want to just quickly read it again. So as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came across a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. So she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits there while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. So what was it that Mary had discovered? She'd discovered that it wasn't important to be rushing around. What was important was just to sit, have time, relax and listen and hear what Jesus had to say. So I was thinking about that in the lines of church on a Sunday. I don't know about you guys, but occasionally when I leave church, I feel like I haven't actually said more than hello to people. You ever feel like you're just rushing around? Especially if I'm preaching or if I'm on PA or if I'm on setup. Like when we've got a job to do, sometimes we get so focused on our jobs that we come in, we get what we need to get done, and then we quickly leave. Or we don't quickly leave, we're still just rushing around till the last minute and leaving. Either way, we don't get that interaction. We don't get that relationship built. I can quite easily say that 90% of people here I've said hello to hundreds of times, but I might not have had a deep conversation with some of you over the years because it's not always possible. Where hospitality changes all that. So that's why we try to do these meals. That's why we try to invite people to our houses, and I mean we as in all of us. That's what hospitality is all about. It's about being able to share a meal and to get to know people around us. Meal number three. This is a Jesus and a prominent Pharisee. He was a prominent one, so he wasn't just an everyday Pharisee. He was one of the prominent ones, one of the big Pharisees. So one Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner at a home at a leader of the Pharisees, and the people were watching him closely. There was a man whose arms and legs were swollen. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in religious law, "Is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath or not?" Ask them a question. Is it okay if I heal on a Sunday, which happened to be on a Sunday, or the Sabbath, which may not have been a Sunday? When they refused to answer, Jesus touched the sick man and healed him and sent him away. Then he turned to them and said, "Which of you doesn't work on a Sabbath if your son or your cow falls into a pit? Don't you rush and get him out?" Again, they could not answer. So Jesus used that time around that meal to discuss something that he believed needed to be said. He knew they were caught up on the details of not working on a Sunday, of it being a Sabbath, and they'd made it into too much of a law. So he found the Sunday, which was a perfect time to discuss the topic that was poignant at that moment. So my bit of advice here is, I'm not telling you to do the same. Don't pull people into your house just because you want to rebuke them. But I think there is times where we can go into people's houses and we can learn from them, and that they can share words of wisdom in their life, in your lives and us into theirs. Something I've been learning way too much at uni is the lens we look at things. It's one of those catchphrases, is what lens are you looking at it through? So when we look at any situation, we've got all of our history, we've got all of the things that we've done around us, and that's will guide the way that we look at all situations. And so part of the aim today is just that we look through a slightly different lens. We look at it from a different approach. So I think this is meal number four, which is the last one. I see you breathe out with a sigh of relief for that. This is another one of my favourites. This is a story of Zacchaeus. And so here we've got a guy who was not popular. He was short, but yet he was resourceful. And he found a way to see past the crowds and to see Jesus. So Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your house today." I love that emphasis. If you know, it's like, I must be a guest. I really want to eat with you. So why was this story significant? Because Jesus broke down the cultural barriers in that story. He was an outcast. Zacchaeus, none of the Pharisees would have invited him over for a meal. He was the outcast. He was the one who was just on that fringe, which ties back to what I said earlier, is are there people that are just on the fringe of our church, of our family, who could be brought in? Just a question. Our fellowship and hospitality is a perfect time to break down barriers. Barriers such as age. So on our Wednesday once a month meal time, when we invite people over, I don't want to offend anyone who's been at our house, but generally we try at least every second time to invite someone from a different age group. I'm sorry, Jean, you're not the same age as Zoe and I, so when you've come for a meal...
I'll forgive you.
And Steve and Bernie, you're a lot closer to our age, it's okay. Uh, And yeah, I'm not going to list everyone. I'm just saying it's a perfect opportunity, I find, to find people who are at a different age, at a different stage, who have had different backgrounds, who are in different life situations, to have a meal with them. Because having that two-way conversation of, you know, what have you done in the past? What are your interests now? What do you want to do in the future? What are your struggles in life? Because, you know, we all have these different struggles. And I can sit here and go, oh, I must have the most struggles because of this, this, and this reason. But until we stop and have a conversation with those around us, that's when we can start seeing what other struggles are. And it's not all about struggles, but it's a good way to get to know people and to sometimes get out of our mindset of, especially that poor me syndrome that occasionally I suffer from, we all suffer from. So Jesus sharing meals, what side have I got up? That one, beautiful, the one I'm on. Jesus sharing meals were a chance for ministry, for conversation, for teaching, for breaking down barriers. And so meals also, like if you want to look in the Bible, a perfect time for looking at things like where we rate ourselves, how important we think ourselves are. Or the fact of, like I said, of feeding the poor. There's so many topics that Jesus sharing meals cover, but these are the ones that I think are important for us as a church. Not that then others aren't, but these are the ones I'm focusing on. The idea of using that time of sharing a meal for ministry, for conversation, for teaching, for breaking down barriers. Which leads me back yet again in a loop to our Wednesday shared meal. Well, perfect timing. Wednesday night this week is our shared meal night. So I encourage you to find someone outside of your sphere, outside of your little circle of friends that you always catch up with, and have a meal with somebody different. Invite someone over. Get to know someone in a deeper way, in a more meaningful way. Like I started with, this is not a checklist. You don't have to check them all off. So on Wednesday night, you know, what I should do is I should bring Alan and Effie over to my house, and then I'll encourage them. I'll tell them a testimony. I'll share a few scriptures. I'll pray for them. And if I'm really lucky, they'll leave saved. Oh, wait a minute. As I said, it's not a checklist, but it's just more of a reminder of what hospitality can be. That it can build relationships. It can break down barriers, both real and imagined. Quite often the barriers we think we have with people around us are just imagined. So as I said at the beginning, it's not a message on how, when, why, how or who, but it is just a message about why we're called to be hospitable. And I love this verse. So it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. So that's a message paraphrase if you're scratching your head and didn't know. So we have been given freedom through Christ. We know that he's set us free, that he's gave us life for us. And that scripture says, what a better way to share our freedom than through serving other people. What better way to show love than to serve other people. Now I'm going to actually pretty well wrap up with one more scripture. And somehow I've copied it a couple. So this is the other scripture. And what I'm going to do is a little bit different. I'm actually going to read it in two different translations. First, this is in the New Living. It's the same verse that I'll read afterwards. So first of all, this is New Living. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So what we can take from that is being hospitable takes sacrifices. Does anyone know that having people over your house actually costs you something? It costs me and our family, when we have people over, it costs us time. Because you've got to have time to prepare the meal. You don't just throw in 2-minute noodles for dinner when you've got people coming over. Not that we do very often. It costs time, it costs money, and it also costs mental capacity sometimes. You know when you're one of those stress heads of, oh, is there going to be enough food? Do I need to do this? Do I need to clean the house? And it just takes some people more mind power than others. Me, I'm pretty relaxed. Whatever. There'll be enough food. If there's not, they can make toast. House is too messy, doesn't matter. I'm sure their house isn't perfect anyway. But it does cost us something, doesn't it, to have people over? But it is a way that we sacrifice and give back to God some of the stuff that he's given us. Let's read it in the Message. Same scripture again, exact same scripture. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So like I said, that's the exact same scripture. But this translation reminds us that even the way that we have our meals can be used as an act of worship. Even the way that we share food with other people can be an offering to God. I love the line in that that says, do not become too well adjusted to your culture, that you fit in without thinking about it. You know, when you just become that comfortable with life around you that you just think that everything is just perfect and that we don't need to stand out. Well, the Bible says continually that we need to stand out, that we need to not be the same as the whole culture around us. So I want to finish with a little bit of an encouragement. I want to encourage you to find some time to share a meal. Let's start with some time, because it does take time. Find someone that's outside of your immediate group who you'd normally go to. Because we all have people that we gravitate to. But try to break that. Try to find someone slightly outside of your group. Someone slightly outside of your comfort zone and invite them over for a meal. And then I encourage you to have those deeper conversations. I'm not saying we need to bring out a theology book and spend an hour in devotion and reading 100 scriptures, but just have a bit of a deeper conversation. Like, so how's life? Like, how really is life? What's going on? Is there anything you're battling with that I can help? Have you got any testimonies of amazing stories you can tell that are encouraging? And being the host at times, as we read in all those stories, is that quite often Jesus wasn't hosting these meals. He just came as a guest, but he brought something amazing. I think we need to be open, as we have people in our house, for them to bring something that can change us. Because quite often we kind of think, you know, if I have so-and-so over, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to help them in this way. Where quite often it's the other way around. We bring people in our house and they bless us in one way or another. Whether it's encouragement, whether it's just them speaking words into our lives. But just be open to that. So I'm just going to close with prayer and just give you just a few moments just to stop and just to pray about it all. I mean, I know because I spent time preparing this that there's a couple of things that have been stirred in my life that I kind of think, you know, I need to do something about that. And hopefully you might have one or two points the same where you kind of go, you know, there's something there that God's trying to get you to do. And maybe it's just getting out of the comfort zone. Maybe it's deeper. But let's just close our eyes. We'll pray and we'll just give this all back to God. Lord, I just thank you that you are a God of relationships. Lord, when Jesus walked the earth, he was regularly sharing meals with people, but he was using the time to minister, to build people up, to encourage them, to help fulfill all of their needs. Lord, I just pray that we become reflectors of you, Lord, that we shine and we do, that we just able to, just be the same kind of role models that you were to us, Lord. Lord, that we just have opportunities to share meals, but to share you more importantly, Lord. Lord, help us to break down barriers and help us just to get to know someone new and to just be ministered to and to minister to others, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for all the blessings that you do in your name. Amen. And also, on a side note, I actually, leading up to this, I kind of felt that we actually do this well. Like, I'm not saying this as a negative, you guys need to do better, because I think we all do hospitality well, but there's always areas to improve, and so let's just take it on board and spend some time when we can in prayer and just find ways to do life with each other better.